Good morning. If you're in the back, I can't really see, but there are other seats up front. I know you don't want to have the long walk down to the front and have everybody look at you, but there are seats available up front. I am just moved today. I'm extremely moved singing those choruses. Some of us started our day out in the patio at 8 a.m. and we had a service out there. It was cold. But it was good. And then to sing that song, "He Loves Us," over and over and over again. And the thing I could hear in my mind saying, I have to receive that love though. I have to receive it. I have to receive it. Oh, he does, but I have to accept that. And then to listen to the children and hear them express their faith in God. This is a moving day, amen? It's all because of the resurrection. Everything happens. Everything is because of that. And how much we believe that, or rather, if we believe it or not, determines everything. The most important thing, the absolute most important thing you can do in your life is make the decision to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more important than job. It's more important than marriage. It's the number one decision. It's what will we do with the Lord Jesus Christ? What you believe about God, what you believe about the empty tomb affects everything. It affects your past and how you deal with your past. Some of the shame, some of the guilt, the regret, the decisions that you've made, it affects your present, how you make decisions today. It affects your future, not only your future here on earth, but eternity. What you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ affects everything. Unfortunately, there are a lot of things that distort our view about God. And if you talk to anybody about their view about God, you'll get a lot of different answers. Because we get this distortion about who he really is. Sometimes our view of God is distorted by our own past experiences. Sometimes by maybe the media. Sometimes by an educator or someone who had a different belief that was really influential in your life. Maybe painful experiences have caused you to view God in maybe a distorted way. It's one thing to say to believe in God is the most important thing. The other is to make sure that the God we're believing in is the accurate God and not some other idea or some other kind of warped view of who God really is. This inaccurate picture of God has an extreme impact on our lives. That most people really struggle with an accurate view of God. Some think that God is kind of a force, you know, like a Star Wars, let the force be with you type of thing. Well, it's there. It's not, I don't know. It's just this aura type of thing. And some believe God that way. Some believe he's just a historical figure. Some believe it's, you know, a positive feeling or positive energy. And I see that a lot as people, maybe on social media, will say, I am going through a tough time, and somebody will respond, I'm sending positive energy your way. And I recognize the heart. The heart is good. But where is God? And how does God fit in all of that? Some think he's judgmental. Some think he's a cruel tyrant. Some think he's like that grandfather that just gives you everything you want when you want it. All warped views of who God really is. And the problem with this is that when we get our view warped about God, it forces us to really make a couple of decisions. One of the decisions that many people make when their view of God isn't accurate is that they simply deny that he is. So many people don't believe in God based on an inaccurate view of who God is. And they'll say things like, if that's the way God is, I want nothing to do with him. And I can hear God say, whoa, 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 that was bad advertising. I'm not that God. I'm vastly different than the God you don't believe in. And many times I'll ask people that question when they say, well, I don't believe in God. And I'll say, well, tell me about the God you don't believe in. And maybe I don't believe in that kind of God either. and they'll begin to express their disappointment or their anger or their frustration, or they're kind of just like, it's useless. And I'll say, you know what? I don't believe in that God either. Let me tell you about the God I do believe in. So the inaccurate view of God, that warped view of God, tends us to maybe say, I don't believe in God. For other people, the warped view of God makes us want to create our own little God. That you ask people, well, what kind of God do you believe in? Well, I believe that God is, and then fill in the blank. And that God is the God that they've created in their own mind. I want a God who's like an ATM, that whenever I ask, he gives me what I want. So I believe in that God. But then sometimes he doesn't give me what I want, and then I think he's mad or judgmental or away on other business or doing something else. So God's not necessarily attentive. And so we kind of make the God that we want, almost as if we're creating him ourselves, like they would do in the Old Testament with idols, creating their own God out of wood or stone, and then bowing down to the thing they just made. We often do that with God. Well, what matters, church, what matters today is not the warped view of God, but what matters is, what is the truth? Who is God really? And I think if I really want to know who God is, I'll ask him. That seems to make sense. Not to go to some other periodical or website or something, but why don't we find out who God says he is and find out the truth? And maybe we'll be able to understand him. And my hope is at the end of this service, I'm going to give us an opportunity. There may be people here that have not yet come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll have that opportunity based on who he really is. Not some kind of foggy, inaccurate, warped perception of God. The title of this message is the number one thing that I love about God, and that is, how much does God care about me? Here's the truth. God cares about you. He does. Here's a verse in Scripture, Ephesians 3. It says, may you be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, and how high God's love really is. And to experience this love for yourself. That's the goal of this Easter Sunday. That everybody in this room would walk out of here saying, wow, he really does love me. That's the God I want. Not the God of some other warped and crazy idea. So I want to tell you three things this morning about the question, does God really care for me? And based on this scripture, how much does God really love? I want to tell you about how he has revealed himself to us, how he has rescued us, and how he relates to us. First, let's start off with how God reveals himself to us. The only way we could know that what God is like is if he showed himself. I've never seen God. I've never seen a face or an image or a shape or anything, but I know he exists. Because when I was 15 years old, I took the step of faith to invite God into my life. And now over the years, I've come to recognize that he is real. He is true. He is with me. He is always with me. He always cares. He always answers. He's my Father. He's God. But he has to reveal himself to us. How does he do that? Well, Scripture says that he reveals himself to us through his creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Reads, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Interesting, isn't it? Does our science of today believe that he is clearly seen in creation? Being understood from what has been made. Is God understood from what has been made? Does it surprise us that secular science and secular minds have built this now theory over the last few decades, maybe a century, that all of this happened by accident? If it all happened by accident, what happens to the image of God? Well, of course, he's no longer seen in the creation. You know what? I truly know this to be a fact. It takes more faith to not believe in God from the creation than it does to believe in him. When you see the evidence of creation, God's all over it. And it makes sense, right? If you see design, there must have been a designer. You see a creation, there must have been a... Does that make sense? It makes sense to me too. But what a backwards world we live in when folks will say without even blinking an eye, this all happened by accident. Have you ever traveled? Have you ever looked at the wonder of God's creation? Have you ever looked under a microscope and seen that there's a whole other world in a drop of water on a slide? There's a whole universe under there in that microscopic world, and it all works together. When you were born, that DNA that God placed, those building blocks of who you are, began to work. And then after that 9 months of your mother carrying you, here you are. And the puzzle was already put together, and you grew into you. And what a wonder we are. We are miracles. And then there's the universe. We take the big picture and now the galaxies and the galaxies and the galaxies. We can't even fathom what's out there and how our planets revolve around our sun and our solar system. And our earth is tilted just right so that we can live and just the right distance from the sun so we don't burn up or freeze to death. And everything is such in perfect balance. And the world wants to say, I'm thinking accident. That takes faith to believe that. That happened by accident and that we just appeared and all the animal kingdom and all the perfect order that God has established. God says his divine nature and eternal power. I can see his eternal power, but I can see his nature too. God loves beauty. Therefore, he made beauty. Walk along the beach at sunrise or sunset or along a mountain trail near a lake. Or look out over a canyon and recognize God's majestic beauty. And I can see him saying to himself, oh, they're going to love this one. Let me just press my thumb down in northern Arizona and make the Grand Canyon. And maybe we'll use the Colorado for a little help just to add some flavor. God loves beauty. And as I look around at you, beautiful. Anybody a people watcher? I like people watching too. I like to tell their stories as they walk by. Does anybody else do that? I do too. I watch them walk by and I go, I wonder what you're all about. And I make up my own story about where they... But it's so strange that they're looking at me, looking at them, thinking in their mind, weird. What's he staring at me for? What did he do to bring him to that bench at that point in life? And I'm thinking, what did you do in your life to have you walk right by? God just, it's beautiful. Could you not see the beauty in the children up here today? Oh man, reciting those scriptures and letting them just roll off their tongues. And I'm just sitting there, my eyes start to get a little misty and I'm thinking, beautiful. That's God. Accident? I'm thinking not. I'm thinking creator. God has a sense of humor. Just look at the animal. Anybody see? Watch the what's that thing? Planet Earth. That thing, and I guess they have a new one out now, and it's even better apparently. And all the weird stuff the animals do, the mating rituals, and all that kind of crazy stuff that they do, spinning around and doing all kinds of weird stuff, and that works for the female or the male. I don't know. Then I look at us and I think that works for the female and the male. I don't know how that happens. God, just a sense of humor. We have a beaver, we have a duck. Let's take the duck bill, put it on the beaver, put the feet of the duck on the beaver, call it a platypus. That works for me. So creative, so funny. God in his creation has made himself available, visible, so that we'll look at all that he has made and we'll go, I'm thinking God. I'm thinking designer. I'm thinking creator. God revealed himself in the creation. God revealed himself in another way. Because there are those who don't believe in the creator. There are those that believe that there was a accident that happened somewhere in the universe and that everything came. And so, okay, that's your belief. But Jesus revealed himself, or God revealed himself in a different way, and that he came to earth. In a man, Jesus Christ. 100% God, 100% man, and he came. And he lived here. And he lived among us so that we might know him. And Jesus said things like, Christ is the image of the invisible God. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. If you hear Jesus' voice, you've heard God's voice. If you read Jesus' words, you've heard God talking to you. You watch how Jesus responded to the people, you know how God will respond to you. Because he is the image of the invisible God. He went so far to say it this way. Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, is that audacious or what? That's a pretty bold statement. He said a lot of other things that were pretty bold too. That I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the living water. He made a lot of audacious statements about who he was. Because he's trying to reveal himself to us. To show us that he is God. How do you deal with those statements? That's the real question. How do those statements sit inside? They make you uncomfortable? Well, some of us want to take the middle ground and just, you know, not be controversial and not be resistant. Say, well, you know, I believe he was a good teacher. I believe he was, you know, a good man. That Jesus was a historical figure, but he was good and he did a lot of good for people. Well, listen, but Jesus said he was God. So he's either God or a fraud. Which is he? I can stand up here to you and say, my name is Greg Winschlag. I'm the pastor of Abundant Life Church. And you can say, true. I'm okay with that. I'm good. But if I say to you, my name is Greg Winschlag. I'm pastor of Abundant Life Church. And by the way, I'm God. How many are having a problem with me now? That's what Jesus did. He's either God or fraud. You can't be the good guy, the good teacher, the moral individual, and then still be okay when he says, oh, but by the way, I'm God. You got to deal with that. And Jesus revealed himself that way, making it clear who he was, so that we would be forced into a decision. How do I know whether he's God or fraud? That's why we're here today on Easter Sunday. Because Jesus didn't just say it. He was hung on a cross. He was pierced. He was beaten. And he died. They wrapped him up. They put him in the grave. But 3 days later, he appeared again. I'm thinking God. When he starts coming out of the ground, showing his scars, showing the piercing, saying, I'm back. Fraud? I don't think so. That's some magic trick I've never seen before. He's God. That's what we're here about. Church, Jesus loves you so much. He cares about you that he revealed himself to you. Not only did he reveal himself to you, he's rescued you. He cares enough to rescue you. When Eric, my son, he's 26 now, when he was a little guy, I don't know how it happened. It must have been my wife that allowed the razor blades to be in reach of a 2-year-old child. But I kid you not, this little toddler was walking around and we can tell he was sucking on something. And when we found him, he's, you know, what is he sucking on? Hopefully it's nothing he can swallow. Oh no, much worse. When we finally pried his mouth open, and it was a struggle, he was resistant, he had a razor in his mouth. And, you know, we're not parents that do that kind of thing. We put all of our weapons above, you know, really high. So no 2-year-old could get them. He was walking around as content as ever, not knowing that he needed a rescue, not knowing how close to real danger he was. Until someone who knew better came to rescue. Church, God came to rescue us because a lot of us are walking around not knowing what kind of danger we're in, not knowing we need a rescue, but God does. He knows we needed a rescue and he came to rescue us. He came to rescue us from the guilt of our past. Everybody has a past. And I'm not talking just a timeline. I'm not talking about years that have gone by. You know what I mean when I say past, right? You got a past. Skeletons in your closet. Things you don't want anybody to know about. Things you're not proud of. Things you regret. Things that are hurtful. that you did, said, experienced, that you wish would just go away, but you can't make them go away because they're just stuck with you. Can I tell you this? Does God really care about you? Yes, he does, because he came to rescue you from your past. How many here this morning would say, I am so glad God rescued me from my past? Oh, yeah. Where would we be? Where would we be right now if we were still stuck under the weight of that past? Here's what Jesus said, or Paul wrote in Galatians. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us. The number one thing God came to rescue you from is your sin. That which you've committed. And the beauty, it's not even in our past, it's the future too. I'm amazed by that. God has even rescued me from the sins I haven't yet committed. That's how far his grace reaches. If you're here with a past today, welcome to the family. Welcome to the rest that are like you. In about a month and a half, we publish a book of stories of Abundant Life people that comes out June the 4th. It's going to be awesome. We're going to give it, just flood the neighborhood with the book of our stories. And it talks about a lot of people in our church with a past, but how Jesus Christ has rescued them and set us free. Are Christians special? Are we special in this room? Not really, but what sets us apart is that we've understood that God can rescue you from your past. You don't have to be bound up in it anymore. You don't have to be under the weight of just the condemnation anymore. God has set you free from that. He paid the price. He died on the cross, but he rose again. Jesus also came to rescue us from a meaningless life. It's our past, but it's also our present. Jesus said this, I have come that they might have life and have life to the full. That's his statement. Why did he say that? Because he knows that a lot of us don't know what a meaningful life is. We think that life is get up in the morning, go to work, make money, go home, repeat. Until you get to the weekend, do something crazy that it's going to make you wish on Monday morning you hadn't done it, and then repeat that. Do that over X amount of years, retire, and then look back and say, where did life go, and die. Most of us don't know what a meaningful life is. And how really would we if we don't believe that God is a creator, and if everything happened by accident, then we're accidents. There is no meaning with accident. But God came to give us meaning. He came to give us life. Most people just don't know that God has a plan for you. He said, I've come to give you life and life to the full. I love scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 when it says that mortality has been swallowed up by life. Isn't that an awesome verse? I say that almost every funeral I do to help people realize that this is existing, what we're doing right now. But you know what? There's life to come. Now, if you're with Christ, he can give you life now. Oh, but man, is there an eternity to come to be with him? And it's true, and it's real. He came to rescue you from a meaningless life and give you purpose, so you can wake up in the morning knowing why you exist, not just that you do. He also came to rescue us from the fear of death. He rescued us from our past. He rescued us from a meaningless present. And he's rescuing us from the fear of the future, from the fear of death. In general, we all fear it. Hang out with a bunch of people, invite them over to your house for dinner, and when they're sitting around your table, you say, hey, you know, I've got a subject I want to talk about. Let's talk about death. See how that works at your dinner party. See if those folks answer your invitation next time. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about death. We want to avoid that at all costs. But it's real. And a lot of folks are just really oblivious that at some time, and for some, it's going to be quicker than others. We're going to crash into it. It's kind of like the guy who jumps out of a 50-story window. And 20 floors down, somebody says, hey, how's it going? And he says, well, it's going okay so far. But he's going to hit the ground someday. You see, death is real. But Jesus came to rescue us from death. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? For a Christian, death is not something to be afraid of. Death is a graduation. Paul said that to live is Christ, to die is gain. Is that some warped individual? No, he just knows truth. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. A Christian need not fear death because the Lord Jesus Christ is the God over death, and he just has now just made it a passageway to him. Christians ought not to fear death because we know who's rescued us. We know that the one who died on the Friday rose again on the Saturday, on the Sunday, so that we can all rise again. The tomb is not a locked jail cell that we can't escape from. The tomb is a passageway to eternal life. And we can live that way right now and not fear. We don't have to fear the past, nor do we have to live meaningless in the present. We don't have to fear the future. Because he's our God, and he has rose from the dead, and he cares about us that much. Do you have that confidence today? Do you have that confidence that your past is forgiven, your present has meaning, and your future is secure? Doesn't that sound like a great life? Wouldn't everybody like to live that way? It's as close as knowing Jesus Christ, and you can live just that way. Finally, he cares enough. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the scripture. Hebrews 2:13. He set those free who were slaves all their lives because of their fear of death. Great passage. Finally, he cares enough to relate to me. He's revealed himself to us. He's rescued us. And he relates to us. The Bible says that you were made to have a relationship with God. That's why he made you, for his good pleasure, that you might know his goodness, that you might know his love, that you might know his warmth, his power, his grace. You were created to know him. But something happened. Sin happened and everything got broken. And now there's a distance from God. But Jesus came to earth, died, resurrected to bridge that gap once again. You might be thinking this morning you've messed up too bad. Can I tell you, there is no sin so great that the Lord Jesus Christ's blood can't cover. Amen. There's no sin that you can commit so frequently that Jesus has a little counter and he's counting every little sin. 1, 2, 3, 4. I know that's some of your lives. Some of your lives are 8,091, 8,092, 8,093. For some of you, it's 1,869. And whatever you are, whatever the number on your counter, God's grace's counter is way bigger. The book of Romans says where sin abounds, grace superabounds. What that means is where sin is a drop of water, God's grace is the ocean. That's what that means. You're not a lost cause. If you're sitting here this morning saying, I don't know why I came. Well, yeah, I do. I came because my nephew was singing and I want him to get some eggs. That's why I'm here. God wants a relationship with you. But pastor, you don't know what I've done. I've committed adultery. God wants a relationship with you. But you don't know how addicted I am to pornography. God wants a relationship with you. But you don't know how much I just can't stop lying. I just can't. God wants a relationship with you. But you don't know how much I've struggled with manipulation and putting myself first. And I've stepped on a lot of people to get where I am today. God wants a relationship with you. He came to relate to us. And there is no sin so great that his love can't reach down and pull you out of that. Where you feel hopeless, he's hope. Where you feel discouraged, he's your courage. Where you feel just faithless, he's your faithfulness. When you feel like there is no way, he is your way. When you feel confused, he is your truth. When you feel like that everything is coming apart, he's the Savior who redeems and puts you back together again. He wants a relationship with you. He cares. He cares. He cares enough to come and die. And then to rise again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. God reconciled himself to us through Christ, not counting men's sins against us. Is that a powerful statement? God, how could you love me? Have you not seen my list? What list is that? The list of my sins. I mean, come on, you can't be blind. And he says, what list? Oh, you mean that list that's been covered by the blood of my son? I can't read that list. It's not legible. It's covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't count your sins against you. That's how awesome His grace is. And yes, I know what you're thinking. This can't be true. I know I'm guilty. Yeah, He does too. That's the wonder of the cross and the empty tomb. He knows we're hopeless. He knows we're completely lost. He knows there is no way out for us. That's why He came. And He reconciled us to Himself. You know that there's a big difference between forgiving and reconciling? There really is. If my wife and I get into a fight, we can look at each other and say, I forgive you. But then go into separate rooms. I kind of like the I forgive you and then the makeup part after that. How many follow what I'm trying to say this morning here? There's one thing to forgive. There's another thing to reconcile, right? God came to reconcile. Not just to forgive you and say, okay, now toddle along, but let's be together. There was no more sweeter times than when we had to discipline our children, but after the discipline, just to pull them up on our lap close and hug and kiss and start to laugh again and to reconcile. That's what God is doing with us and wants to do with us. Romans chapter 5:11 says, now we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We are friends of God today. Say, who's your best friend? That's a name dropper if I ever heard one. Well, who do you know? Well, you know, I ran into, Buster Posey the other day. Yeah, you know. Well, I know God. He's my friend. We know God. Is there anybody that can intimidate us, overimpress us, manipulate us when we know God? That's why I said that we ought to be God pleasers versus man pleasers, because He impresses us that much more. Because He loves us and has reconciled us, He'll meet your needs. It's not my promise, it's God's promise. This is not some kind of a good thought for the day. This is real promise here. I'll meet your needs. Now this promise is not for all of those. It's not for everybody. It's for those who are in Christ Jesus. Does He mean all of our needs? Our financial needs? Yeah. Our relational needs? Yes. Our physical needs? Yes. We can pray for healing. What's the word? What is that word? Oh yeah, all. All. When we're in Christ Jesus. He's done that. That's how much He cares for us. And you know what, church? I just want to ask you. The God who revealed Himself, the God who rescued us, and the God who relates to us, isn't that a God you'd like to know? I'm thinking that's who I'd like to know. And there's a way you can know Him this morning. He's knowable. He's cleared the way so you can know Him. Scripture says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's His promise. He said, just call on me. We say a particular prayer. That's not even in the Bible. It just says call. So another verse says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That puts a little bit more meat to the call. Tells us what it means. That you acknowledge Jesus Christ is God. And that on the third day He did rise from the dead. You will be saved. It's that simple. And then we learn, and churches for learning how to follow that. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves. Nothing you did. It's a gift of God. Not of works. You don't do religion. Christians are not religious. They're not. Some of us make it into a religion, but that's not Jesus' idea. Religion is a man-made idea to get God to like us. He already likes you. He died for you. He just wants a relationship. My children never need to get to do enough stuff so that daddy will love them. It's too late. I already do. That's God. Do you want to know this God? It's as simple and He's as close as that. It's my hope and my prayer today that You would not think that making $1 million, wait a minute, we live in Cupertino, that making $1 billion is your goal. Living in that $4 million house is your goal. Moving up the corporate ladder is your goal. That your goal would be, I want to know Christ, the one who has revealed himself to me, and he's God, the one who rescued me from my past, my meaningless life and my future, and the one who really wants to know me and be reconciled to me. You can have that today. But sadly, and it's so sad, that some just have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. And one day, there will be a day called day one of eternity in our life. And I sure hope that that is a good day. Not the most regret-filled, horror-filled day. Because you see, you're not going to go away. You're eternal. Yes, your body will pass away. The Bible calls these bodies our tent. They're designed to deteriorate and age and die. But you, the you in there, is eternal. And one day that you will see Jesus face to face. Oh, and it's my hope that when you see him face to face, you'll say, oh, God, and not, oh, God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful, wonderful Easter day. The day we celebrate your resurrection. The first day after Passover. And churches all over the globe are rejoicing. This same thing. Because they've discovered the same truth. That there is a God. He did reveal himself in Jesus Christ. He proved that he was God by dying and raising again. He did that to rescue us. You did that to rescue us from our sin, from our meaningless life and our fear of death, that we might live with you eternally, being reconciled with you. Lord, we don't deserve it. Not one of us. There is not one person who has been good enough to make you say, well, of course I love them. Look how good they are. No. Your word says our righteousness is filthy. But you love us anyway. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would draw us even right now, this very moment, this moment as I'm praying. Draw us, God, to depths unknown in our relationship with you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you know who you are. You know. You know your past. You know how badly you've made a mess of life. And you know, even though you may look shiny and sparkly on the outside, you know what's going on the inside. God knows too, and he still loves you. We sang the chorus over and over this morning. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. The only thing keeping you from God's love is saying, I receive that love. I receive it. Just receive it. It's a free gift. Free to us, not free to him. It cost him his life. Would you receive his love today? I'm not going to ask you to come forward and to be embarrassed in front of people today, but I would like to ask you to simply make a gesture. And that is that if you're here today saying, I'd like to receive the love of God, I believe he's real, I believe he rescued me, and I don't want to be afraid of eternity. I want to accept Jesus Christ today and follow him. You just slip up your hand. Yeah, thank you. You can put it down. I see you. Both of you, you can put them down. Thank you. Others that will join these. Today's my day. I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to follow Him. He's there. He's here. So willing. Anybody else? Praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for these two that raised their hands. God, I thank you that you are here to save. And whether saving two or saving 200, you came for that purpose. And God, I thank you. If you would, let's say this prayer together as a group, whether you've met Jesus already or not, but let's say it together, even to renew where we are in Christ. Lord Jesus, I love you and I need you. I thank you that you revealed yourself, and I believe that you are God. I thank you that you died on the cross and rose from the grave to rescue me from my past, to give me a meaningful life, and to set me free from the fear of death. I believe that you want to have a relationship with me. And today, I choose to respond to that invitation. From this day forward, I am yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my God. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I know you've already turned in your connection cards. If you've still got yours, you can mark on the back of it. I made the decision to follow Christ today. If you're already a Christian, take that deeper. Renew that this Easter Sunday. We're going to have prayer partners in the front praying for a little bit. If you prayed that prayer, find one of these prayer partners and just say, I prayed that prayer today. Would you pray with me and confirm it? It doesn't need confirmation, but it really helps to pray with somebody else. We're going to spend just a moment or two in prayer. And I can see that out my peripherals to this side that the locusts are gaining momentum and ready to devour the lawn and the eggs out there. So we're going to enjoy that time. Jesus cares about you. Never, ever, ever, ever forget how much. Happy Easter.